to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the lovely nation of the United States of America. Yes, I'm back in the good old land, home of the free. Wait, land of the brave, home of the free. Land of the brave, yes. a good place, a place where the blessing of God has flown over generations. And at the same time, the attacks of the enemy have gone forth, and they've gone forth at a rigorous pace to try to undermine the truth, to try to undermine that which is light, to try to undermine that which God has put in place, to try to undermine the people of God. And yet, in the midst of that too, God is raising up His truth. God is raising up His true church. God is raising up those that speak the truth, that know His voice, that love Him, and that walk with Him, and that know that which to do, and that which to do in such a time as this. You know, one thing that's important is for us, the people of God, to use the gifts that God has put inside of us. You know, God has given you gifts. God has put things inside of your heart. God has put things inside of your soul. God has given you gifts, talents, and abilities. And as you put yourself before the Lord, as you put your entire being before Him, and you allow Him to take over your entire body, you allow Him to flow through you, as you allow that, those gifts become empowered by Him. And He uses you in accordance with also the ministry of Christ Jesus. Now, when Jesus came into this world, there's a lot of things that He did. Part of His ministry is found, let me just flip to the word, grab your Bibles. Hey, yeah, grab your Bibles, man. It's good. It's good to get into the Word. It's good to go and to see these things for yourself. First John chapter 3. Verse number, let's see here. Actually, let's start at chapter 1. First John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him even as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifest to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither knoweth Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, to that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew him he? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brothers, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath the world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandment dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit, which He hath given us. Okay, so there's a lot here. And this is a chapter. It's good for you guys to go back, read this one, meditate on it, think about it. Here's the thing. God has given us His Spirit. God has put His Spirit in us. God has put His Spirit in you. And His Spirit inside of you cries, Abba, Father. Your spirit inside of you longs for the things of God, longs for the presence of God, longs to know Him. So the Spirit of God that is in you cries out unto Him. And God, inside of His Word, has called you to be a royal priesthood, called you to be that which He has intended for you to be. And for this reason, Christ Jesus was manifest. In verse 8, second part, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil. So, now, all Scripture weaves together. It's a beautiful tapestry. So, when you look at, say for example, the book of Daniel, and you see the idol, you see the Babylonian system, and its different manifestations that would come throughout time. The rock that was cut without human hands that came and smashed that and destroyed it, pulverized it to the point where it was smashed into a big heap, and then it was just pulverized into powder, and then it just was windswept and blown away, and there wasn't even a trace of it anymore. That is Jesus Christ. He is the rock. He is the rock that causes offense. He is the cornerstone. He is the foundation. His word is truth. His word that remains in us, that is what we are rooted and grounded on. The revelation of who Christ Jesus is the foundation of the Church of the Living God. Not any man-made system, but the pure revelation of who Christ Jesus is, which is something that God does in your heart. God does that in your heart to reveal who Jesus Christ is unto you. He does that because you are called by God. And He takes you from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. When God spoke to Peter, Jesus talking to Peter, and He said, you know, Peter, who do people say that I am? And he's like, well, some say you're the prophet, some say you're this, some say you're that. And He said, well, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say? He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven has revealed this unto you. And, upon this rock I will build my church. Not Peter. Now this is, again, a misinterpretation. It's taken place and entire denominations have been set up upon this. But upon this rock, what rock? The revelation and the confession of who Christ Jesus is. The revelation that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the revelation. That is the foundation of the Church of the living God. That is what His church in the earth is built upon. The revelation and the understanding in your heart, in the core of your being, that God reveals that to you of who Jesus Christ is. That is the foundation of the church. No man-made structure, no man-made system, nothing like that. Who Jesus is. And Jesus was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus was manifest to destroy the Babylonian system. So what is the thing that was destroyed in the vision of Daniel. Well, actually, it was the vision that came to Nebuchadnezzar first. And Nebuchadnezzar was so disturbed by it. Now, keep in mind that Nebuchadnezzar was, at that time, the ruler of the free world. And God gave him a dream that disturbed him so much. And he told all of the wise men and enchanters of the land, he said, look, whoever, you gotta tell me, first tell me what my dream is, and then give me my interpretation. Because, you know, a lot of people, yeah, if you give them the dream first, they will give you some interpretation, because now you know, and they'll just stall for time. But he said, the only way I'll know if you can tell me what the interpretation is for real is if you can tell me what the dream is. And he was so angry because all these guys were like, you know, look, nobody's ever asked this of any wise man ever before in the history. And, you know, you're asking this of us. And he said, you know, you can't do that. And he said, well, all right, I'm going to kill all of you guys. And he was intending on killing everybody. Daniel approached the king, asked for and got a bit of time, and said he would tell, and went before the Lord, and his buddies were praying with him, went before the Lord. God showed him the vision, and he came and told the vision to the king and said, look, you know, I'm it's not because, you know, there's something special about me, but it's because God wanted you to know and for you to understand. And God wanted you to understand this revelation. And I'm going to tell you your dream. And then I'm going to tell you the revelation of what it means. And God did that. God did that with Daniel. And God does that with us. Is God gives us wisdom, knowledge, understanding. God does that for us. God does that for you. And when God used Daniel in that situation, there was a profound revelation of all that was, is, and is to come that was brought out at that time. And Jesus Christ, who is the rock, the Word made flesh that came and dwelt among us, our salvation, Jesus Christ that came into the earth, when Jesus came, and when the Word was made flesh and came and dwelt among us, and he went to the cross, died for our sins. Death and hell was swallowed up in victory. The blood of Jesus was sufficient to pay the price for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the whole world. It was sufficient. Now, it still has to be appropriated. You still have to receive that gift of eternal life. Because, see, here's the other thing too. Your free will is involved. You can choose to reject. You can choose to reject life. You can choose to reject Christ. You can choose to side with the devil and be part of the Babylonian system that is being destroyed, has been destroyed, will be destroyed, is in the process of being destroyed. All of this has already been done. In eternity, all of this has already been done. Look, the moment that God says it, it is finished. You got to understand this, that God is eternal. And he's outside of time. So when something has been spoken by him, that's it. It's finished. It's done. That's why you got to be the stupidest person to sign up to the Babylonian system, knowing that you are getting a ticket for the Titanic, knowing it's going to crash. See, the people that got on the Titanic, they didn't know the boat was going to sink. They didn't know the boat was going to sink. They thought they were going on this nice cruise. Had they known the boat was going to sink, and they were going to die, do you think that they would have gotten on that boat? Well, this is exactly what I'm talking to you about today. We know the Babylonian system is going to sink. We know that God is going to shake everything that can be shaken. We know that in Jesus' name, all of those things bow. All of those things break. Nothing can hold itself together. Every demon bows and gets out of the way when Jesus Christ comes through. We know this. You know this. So that's why too. Now here's the thing. You, follower of Christ Jesus, you who have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you who have had a revelation of who Christ Jesus is, you've got to understand that the world, verse 1, chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So, look, the world doesn't know you. You, child of God, the world doesn't know you. Because it didn't know him. Look, Jesus came into the world, walked around, was here in the flesh, healed people, spoke the truth, did miracles, all of that stuff that was done, pointed people towards the Father. And he came, he lived, he died on the cross, he rose again, and they still didn't know him. Today they don't know him. Today people try to stand up and talk about Jesus being a great philosopher or ascended master or some sort of teacher or some sort of prophet. He is the Savior of all humanity. He is. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ is God in flesh. The Word made flesh. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is who Jesus is. That is who Jesus is. That is the revelation of who Christ Jesus is. But the world does not know him. If they knew him, if they knew him, if they truly understood, they would change. You know, this is why too, those that gain rank in the satanic system, the ones at the highest echelons of the satanic system, those ones are the ones that have an understanding of who God is, but they've sold out to the devil in exchange for power, position, something to be in this world, and in exchange they get to be high on the devil's ladder. But they willfully reject the truth. They willfully reject God. Have you ever wondered why is it that people, they get so upset when it comes to Jesus? They'll put up with all kinds of religious teachings in this world. But when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to the name of Jesus, that is what really gets them. Really gets them upset. Really gets them mad. It's incredible. It's incredible that his name elicits a response. His name just ruffles their feathers. Even in passing. That's why even too, so many people when they try to curse, they try to use his name in vain. Why? Have you ever heard somebody say, Buddha damn it? No. No, you haven't. It sounds ridiculous. There's no power in that name, is there? There's no power in that name. There's no power in somebody saying that. You know, I'm just using examples, all right? So don't you guys go out there and get all freaked out. I'm just trying to help you to understand that the power is only in Jesus' name. Because I know there's some of you guys that listen in here, and you are truth seekers, and you followed a particular religious tradition your entire life, and you're listening here because you're curious, and you want to know. Well, hey, you know, we are giving you the truth. You know it in your heart that what we're saying is true. And if it conflicts with that which you've accepted, look, you have a Father that's in heaven that loves you. You have a Father that's in heaven that knows your name. And take it before him. Don't ask anybody. But you go and stand before God. Go out to your backyard. Go out to an open field. Lock yourself in your room. Do whatever. But you get before God, your God, in heaven. And you ask him. And you ask him, is this which is being spoken true? You ask him. You say, Lord God, the highest above all, our Father who's in heaven, above all things, would you reveal the truth unto me? Would you speak your truth unto me? Would you show me that which is true? You ask him. If you ask him, he will tell you. If you ask him, he will show you. If you ask and seek and knock, if you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you shall find. If you knock, the door shall be open. If you don't ask, you're not going to have it. If you don't seek, you're not going to find it. If you don't knock, no doors will ever open. Something's got to cry out inside of you for the truth. Something inside of you has to want that which is real. Something inside of you has to know that which is going on in the world, that which the devil does, that which the devil propagates, that is not it. There is no life in them. You need to know that inside of yourself. You need to cry out for something real. And even for some of you guys that you've been out there and you've followed religious traditions very strongly. You followed them. You're like Paul before he became Paul. You're like, he was Saul, he became Paul. God changed his name. Saul was always a godly man. He just wasn't righteous. Saul was doing all these things because he thought he was serving God. And yet one day when he was on the road to Damascus, what happened? God knocked him to the ground and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And Saul said, "Lord God, who are you?" He said, "I am Jesus whom you persecutest. Get up. Go into Damascus. I'm going to send somebody. He's going to show you what you need to do." And when Saul got up, he was blind. He couldn't see. He couldn't see. And God sent Ananias to the house to speak the truth, to give him the gospel, to proclaim the revelation of who Christ Jesus is. And Saul became Paul. Saul, even though he was a godly person, he was not righteous. Because you know what Jesus said would happen? He said that in the days to come, there will be people that will persecute you, that will even put you to death. But they don't know me. They think they're doing God a service, and they're doing this, but they don't know me. They're doing this because they don't know me. Look, there's a lot of you guys out there, you're doing things that you think are godly, but you're actually hurting the truth. You're hurting the people of God. And you do this because you do not know God. And this is why, too, for my brothers and sisters that are listening on this, give people a little bit of grace. Because you don't know how many of them that is Saul today will become Paul tomorrow. You don't know which ones of them God will turn them around and will make them your closest ally in time to come. The very ones that are slicing open your back today, like in Acts 16, that same night they'll be washing your wounds, and they and their whole households will be saved. You don't know. You don't know what miracle God will do in the lives of other people. That's why you need to stay consistent. That's why you need to walk with God. That's why you need to trust Him. Because God is destroying the works of the devil. God is using the people of God to take others from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. And as God takes people from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, God is going to take people that before were your enemy and tomorrow turn them into your brother. God is going to take people that yesterday were the ones that persecuted you and tomorrow will be the ones that bless you. And you need to be in a place where God can flow through you. That's why you need to have the mind of Christ. Now look, also with this too, you need to have wisdom. Okay? Do not open yourself up for unnecessary damage from the enemy. Do not be dumb. You need to have wisdom in conducting your affairs. Wisdom in conducting your conduct when you are out and about. You need to have wisdom. Because the devil is like a roaring lion prowling about looking for whom he may devour. And he wants to devour the people of God. He wants to devour the children of God. He wants to devour you. And he will use his agents to try to devour you. So look, don't invite the pedophiles into your house. All right? Don't open yourself up to people that would willfully destroy you. As much as possible, use wisdom. As much as possible, keep boundaries. As much as possible, keep parameters in your life. Use wisdom in your conduct. You can minister to people. You can preach the gospel, but you can also say, here is the line. And this is the extent to which I am going to allow myself to be exposed. You know, the people that are in the core of my life, I've got some wonderful people that God has brought close to me over the years. And the ones that are the closest to me, I know them and they know me. And I know these are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus that know His voice, know the power of His Word, know how to pray, are there. I mean, and if I have a question, if I have a concern, I know some people that walk with God for real. And those ones are the ones that for myself, because they're tested. They're tested and approved. They're tested. They've gone through the fire. I've watched their lives. I know the testimony that God has put inside their hearts. Am I running around looking for new people all the time? No. Look, God will put good people in your life if you seek Him. But test the people. Don't just open yourself up. Look, I know some of you guys recently, you've got in some trouble with internet Christianity. Okay? Look, don't go out there and just put yourself out there in your life online. Because you got to understand the devil is looking to try to destroy you. Be careful. Be careful with what you do and how you do it. Be mindful. Look, here's something. I was talking to a sister in Christ recently. People see others through the eyes of their own corruption and through the eyes of who they are. You know, when people, you know, sometimes I've noticed that. Like sometimes when people are like, oh, this person's this and this person's that. And they're, but, you know, so many times when worlders talk like that, it's because they see other people through the way that they really are in themselves. And likewise, too, for a lamb, for an innocent one, for one that has a pure heart, you don't expect that people would be evil like they are. You don't expect that people would be cruel like they are. You don't expect that somebody would try to kill you when you try to bless them. You try to bless them, and they try to destroy you. You offer to give them a ride across the river, and you put them in the boat, and as they get to the other side, they punch a hole in the boat to try to drown you. You don't expect that. Why? Because you would never do that. But you know what? You would never do that, but they will. Because that's what's in them. So because that's what's in them, you need to have some wisdom. You need to have some discernment. You need to have some understanding. You know, the story of the Good Samaritan, there's a reason why he put the guy in the hotel room and paid the innkeeper for his stay, and that he didn't take him back to his house. There's a reason that he did that. He helped, but he also helped with wisdom. He said, look, if there's more of an expense, I will settle it next time I come around. But he also knew where to draw the lines. He also knew how to shore up his own life. He knew how to help and how to bless, but then at the same time, how to not expose himself and his own life. That which he has been given charge to have stewardship over. You have to have stewardship over your own life. You're responsible for that. You're responsible for that before the Lord. You need to have good stewardship over your own life. You need to have good stewardship over that which God has given you charge over. If you have people in your life that look to you, if you have people, if you have a family, if you have those things, you have some responsibility there. You need to protect them. You need to watch over them. You need to be there for them. As much as God has allowed you to, you need to be there for them. Yes, I know there's wicked, evil, deceptive, disgusting people running around in this world. But also, you are the child of light. And you've been given power. You've been given power by the Spirit of the living God to destroy the works of the devil in the earth. Speak the word. Pray. Move in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do that which God has given you to do. Destroy the works of the devil. Every time the devil surfaces his ugly head anywhere around your life, in Jesus' name, break that. In Jesus' name, pray against that. In Jesus' name, destroy that. In Jesus' name, raise up the word and a standard of truth. You know what? The people of God need to stand for the truth. They need to stop. You know what? There's been a brainwashing that has taken place in traditional religion and traditional Christianity. They, in their desire to grow organizational churches, they have compromised the word. They have compromised the truth. They have compromised the gospel. God demands lordship. If you're going to be under the kingdom of God, there's a king and there's a dom. There's a king with dominion. And if you're under his dominion, then there's a king that is above all, and you need to come under his dominion. You need to come under his lordship. That means when you go and you pray, you put your free will in that position, in that place, and you say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. You are submitting your will to the lordship of Christ Jesus. Period. Period. There is no wish-washiness about that. You bow your knee before the King of Kings and you say, Lord, your will, your way. And then you've got his word in your hand. You've got his word before you. And that word sets you free. That word shows you. You've got the Holy Spirit that also leads and guides you into all truth. You've got prayer. God's given you tools so that you would know his voice, so that you would know how to handle the situations of life, that you know how to approach the struggles that you face in this world, that you would also know what it is that you need to do. God's given you that. You need to move in that. It's his kingdom. That's why, too, when you pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, you are praying for the kingdom of God to fully overtake your entire life, for there to be nothing left. All him. You are praying for that. You are longing for that. You are longing for the manifestation of the Spirit of God in and through you. And as you're praying for that also, you're praying for the outpouring of the Spirit of God through you. Jesus said it would be like rivers of living water that flow from your belly. Even like right now. What God has me doing right here, this is an example of this. Rivers of living water flowing through you as you are turned towards him, praying for his lordship, praying for his kingdom to come, his will to be done. You are praying for that. You are asking for that. God is doing that in and through you. And what that does is it impacts the world around you. It impacts the environment around you. It impacts all that is there. And it destroys the work of the devil. Look, when you walk with God, wherever you go, you destroy the work of the devil. Just your presence. You know why? Because light is in you. Truth is in you. His Spirit is in you. And that's why when you go through life, don't be surprised when people try to attack you, when people try to tear you down, when people try to thwart your efforts, when people try to undermine you, when they try to cheat you, when they try to rob you, when they say all manners of evil and slander against you, don't be surprised. Because that's what they did to Jesus. That's what they did to our Lord and our Savior. So a servant is not above his master. So if that's the way you've been treated, well, hey, you're in good company. And you know what? Your brothers and sisters in Christ around the world have been treated the same way. Many of them have gone through a lot worse times. Look, everybody's got their story, okay? Everybody's been broken. Everybody's suffered. Everybody's gone through. You know the victory, though, that we have is Christ Jesus takes it all. He takes it all. You go to him. You put your heart, you put your trust, you put everything before him. You come before him broken. You come before him with all of your wounds. Everything that you've experienced in life, you put it before his throne. You put it before his cross. Watch what he does with you. He takes you. He lifts you up. His Spirit pours through you. Even in the places where you were broken, God causes healing to flow through you. God uses you to touch the lives of others. There's a sword of Goliath principle. I was talking to somebody about this just yesterday. All it takes is a young person. If you understand the God that you serve, if you understand his word, if you understand the truth, God can use you and take you and can put you out there on the battlefield against the very enemy of the people of God. The biggest thing, the hardest thing, the toughest thing they got. And God can use you and take that weapon that was in the enemy's hand and turn it around and cut his head off with it. God can take the very things that the devil trusted in, turn them around and use them to destroy his own people. All it takes. What did David say when he went out on the field? You come against me with sword and javelin, you come against me with spear, you come against me with all that stuff. I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I come against you in the name of God. Look, when we go up against the works of the devil, we go up against that which they have. Not in our own strength, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We come against the devil in Jesus' name. We come against the devil in the revelation of who Christ Jesus is. When we go, when we stand up, when we destroy the works of the devil, we do that in His name. We do that because we have an understanding of that which God has put in us. Look, you need to know something. You that have had the revelation of who Christ Jesus is, you that have submitted your life to His Lordship, you need to know something. You have the victory. You have the victory, hallelujah. You have the victory in Jesus' name. God has put the victory in you. Now you need to walk it out. You need to walk it out. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. You need to walk it out. You need to walk out the truth. You need to live the gospel. You need to preach the gospel. You need to tell people the truth. You need to rise up in the standard of who God made you to be now. Not tomorrow. Now. Today is the day of salvation. Right now, in Jesus' name, rise up and be what God made you to be. You know, I tell you what, I've been so stirred up in my spirit these last few days, I can't even sleep at night. God is stirring His people. God is stirring His people. He's stirring His people to come up against the darkness, to destroy the works of the devil, to carry out the ministry that Christ Jesus has given us. Look, the ministry God's given us is not to build buildings, to get clubs together, to pat each other on the back and say, "You're going to make it, brother." No. God's given you a ministry to destroy the works of the devil. All those other things are extensions of that. Sure, fine, get together. Go get a bite to eat. Pray. Praise God. Sure, fine, enjoy life. Enjoy the truth. Enjoy the abundant life you have in Christ Jesus. But know that comes through the destruction of the work of the devil. Why? Because the devil comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. John chapter 10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy." So if you are going to have the abundant life that God intends for you, part of that abundant life is destroying the destroyer. Destroying the thief, destroying the liar, destroying the power of darkness. How do you destroy that? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That is your offensive weapon. Because we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. We battle against that which is in the heavenly, second heavens, that realm. Because they can't make it past that. They can't go higher than that. But they're in that unseen realm. And they work through human agents that have given themselves over to darkness. But you know what? You have a greater power in you. Greater power is in you. Greater power God has put inside of you. Exponentially stronger power in Jesus' name has been put inside of you. It's been put there to be used. It's been put there to be exercise. It's been put there for you to understand who you are in Jesus' name. Rise up, O man of God. Rise up, O woman of God. Take your inheritance. It's yours in Jesus' name. Power has been given to you in Jesus' name. Strength has been given to you in Jesus' name. Freedom has been given to you in Jesus' name. Every devil's got to get out of your life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you can put down every work of the devil that crosses your path. You know what? Everything in the world has got, the highest person in the world system is below the feet of God. The heavens is His throne. The earth is His footstool. His footstool. So, everything in the world is under the feet of Christ Jesus. Everything in the world is under the feet of Christ Jesus. You are part of the body of Christ, right? Right. That means everything in the world, even the highest thing the world has to offer, is under your feet. And the gospel of the preparation of peace, the gospel of truth, feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of peace, everything in the world is still underneath the feet of the gospel. The gospel is above everything the world has. The gospel is truth above everything the world has. You got to know God's order. You know, that's why the devil works so hard to twist and to turn God's order and tries to just bludgeon your mind with all kinds of lies and deception. Because he doesn't like the fact that he's underneath. And he will always be underneath. Look, the truth is the devil is underneath. The truth is the devil is under and you are over. The truth is all that serve the world and the world system are the tail, and you are the head in Jesus' name. You are the head. You are the head in Jesus' name. Say it. Say it right now. Say it. Say it. I am the head in Jesus' name. I am blessed in Jesus' name. Say it. Speak it out. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Speak. Speak the blessing of God over your life. In Jesus' name. This is what's been given to you. Speak the truth in Jesus' name. And be blessed. Hey, we love you guys. God bless you. God bless you. Hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. You can reach us through our Facebook page. Search for Faith Mix, one word. It's there too. We love you guys. Rise up. Be what God made you to be. We'll talk to you soon. Love you. Bye.